Hey guys, this is April. Did you know that you can leave us a voice message with your feedback or a question right on our Anchor homepage and we can incorporate it into the podcast? So cool. Head to anchor.fm/east to west WLS. Scroll down the page a little bit until you see the message button. Using your smartphone, click that button and leave us your feedback or a question, and we will drop it in an upcoming podcast episode. We're so excited to connect with you. Thank you for your continued support of East to West WLS.
Hey, April. Hey, Jason. East to West WLS. This is Michelle. Instagram handle at walking inward, walking_inward. And my dog's barking in the background. I just wanted to say that I've really been enjoying the podcast lately, not only on YouTube, but also my podcast app. And I'm just, my mind is being blown. Like I'm taking notes. I'm just really appreciative of what you guys are putting out there. And I just listened to the one with Mabel at, I think it's Our Sleeve Academy. And then also I think it's Jana Wolf. Oh, and I'm just so grateful, and I can't wait to hear more. And this is just, you know, I'm post-op now, about 12 days, and I'm just gotta put in the work. So here I am. Thank you so much.
Hello and welcome to East to West WLS, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April and I'm the West. And if you are watching, you notice that there are only two people on the screen today. My friend and the East, Jason, was not available today to meet with Laura, but this conversation is meaningful and we were very excited to have it. So today you will just hear my voice, or you will see myself, and you will see our very special guest, Laura. Hi, Laura.
Hello, April. Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
We are very excited to talk with you today. You were a guest at one of our recent virtual bariatric meetups where we were focusing on reframing food. That was kind of the topic of the meetup. And it is such an important topic in this community because, as you and I have said many times, and as many people in this community have said, mindset is kind of the missing piece to our bariatric recovery. It is the most, I think, unaddressed area, yet is the largest area that really kind of leads us to our success after surgery. So Jana Wolf, the amazing woman behind Berry Box, the meal delivery service, we recently interviewed her on the podcast, and she was like, oh my God, you need to meet my friend Laura. So she connected us, and thank the Lord for that connection, because you are amazing. I just have to say that.
Thank you. And Jana is amazing. And it's all about just coming together and empowering people.
Yes. And I know you have been in the bariatric community for a very long time, and we will really get into kind of your background. But before we do that, will you just give our listeners just a very brief introduction of kind of who you are and maybe where you're at in the world?
Sure. Well, as you know, my name is Laura, and I am a licensed therapist in Michigan. And I have been specializing in bariatrics for the last 2 decades. So love this community, love empowering, and my passion is just providing the missing piece to the bariatric treatment plan.
If you did not attend the virtual bariatric meetup, I highly recommend that you go watch the recording, because Laura's way of delivering information is so, it's just, I don't know how you do it. It's magical, but you very quickly get to the heart of the matter, right? Even though on the surface, this seems almost basic or like, well, I already know this. As soon as you start saying things like, this is what this actually looks like in your life, then you're like, oh my God, I did not know that that was what that was. And now I can very clearly identify with that. So I highly recommend that you check out the recording. It is on our YouTube channel. So if you go to YouTube and you just search East, the number 2 West WLS, our amazing channel will pop up, and all of our podcast recordings are there, as well as all of our virtual bariatric meetup recordings. So if listening to a podcast is not your favorite modality of learning, I highly recommend that you pop over there to YouTube. So, okay, there's kind of my housekeeping things for our conversation. We are going to deep dive today into reframing food. So we're going to talk about how we identify what our current relationship is with food and why we need to really kind of shift it, if we can before, but certainly after surgery. And then I really want to ask you to just why food is such like a triggering thing for us in the bariatric community. And then of course the goal is to really recreate our relationship with food in a way that is healthy and supportive for us after bariatric surgery. So those are gonna be the big buckets of our conversation today. And I'm very excited to dive in. How about you?
I am super excited. Let's do this.
Let's do this. Hey, it's April with East to West WLS. I don't know about you, but after I dropped a significant amount of weight, my body just didn't feel like my own, and I needed help feeling like it was my own again. So I started receiving chiropractic care. If you live in the Tacoma area, I cannot recommend Grit City Chiro more. Dr. McKenzie is passionate about helping you feel, function, and live better. Check out her Instagram at Grit City Chiro or her website, gritcitychiropractic.com, for more info and to book your first consultation. And if you mention East to West, you'll get a discount on your first visit. I feel amazing after seeing her, and I think you will too. All right, Laura. So at the very beginning of our episode, we'd love to just give the floor to our guests to have them just let us know like how you became the person that you are today. What makes you you?
Well, thank you. So I grew up in the Detroit area, and I even think back to grade school, and people ask me, what do you want to do? And I love to help people. And I'm like, hey, back then I said, I want to be a psychiatrist, which was funny because I had no idea like that was a lot of med school and really psychiatrists don't do therapy. So thankfully I learned that pretty early on in my college years and, you know, hit those psych classes way back in the day. And then I realized I just want to help people. I want to do counseling. I want to go and walk alongside people and help people live their best life. So went into graduate school and I chose a graduate program in social work. There's a lot of different choices for people who want to go into counseling with different routes. So I have my master's in social work. And the reason I chose that is really more philosophical. I won't, you know, go into it big time, but when you go for a professional degree in social work, the difference is you're really learning how to help people from their strengths versus I'm a doctor, I'm going to stand up here and give you a diagnosis and you're my patient. Mm-hmm. It's much more we're equal. And the philosophy around social work is that when someone comes to my office, they already have the strengths within themselves to become healthier. It's just my role to help them clear the clutter and see what's getting in the way. And it also, that's my passion. And it's also understanding them in their environment. Like we can't just understand a person and their functioning and how they're doing outside of what's going on with them in their outside world. And we've mm-hmm. certainly learned that. Like we can't understand our health this last year without out understanding we've been living through a global pandemic. So
yeah,
I got that degree, knew I wanted to do counseling and never thought I'd be in the bariatric community. I always wanted to work adolescent psych. And I did. I worked adolescent psych inpatient for a couple of years. And then I had my own children and I realized I can't do the adolescent psych anymore. I loved it. Mm. It was high degree of trauma, bringing it home. I believe in self-care. And so I had a friend who said, hey, we need someone to lead groups in medical and surgical weight loss. And this was back in 2003. And I was like, I don't know anything about medical and surgical weight loss. And
yeah,
like, yeah, I know, but you know how to lead groups. And so that was my introduction back to the bariatric community. And I started working with a local physicians groups here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I haven't looked back. So that's a little bit about me. And I work with people. So this is like hot off the presses. I actually just left the bariatric group that I have worked with for 17 and a half years and have started my own private practice. So I see people individually for counseling, but what I'm really excited is opportunities like this because I want to expand my online reach. I want to expand my message of getting headwork skills out beyond the Grand Rapids, Michigan area because it's needed. So that's a little bit about me and what makes me me.
Well, I very much appreciate you really kind of exploring or letting us know the difference between like a licensed mental health counselor and a licensed kind of the social work, the therapy that you provide. I have been so fortunate. All of the therapists that I have really interacted with my lives very much approach it as you do, which is you are a partner in clearing the clutter. My long, dear, wonderful friend, Mary Blackburn, who has since passed, was my very first kind of therapist. Mm-hmm. And she was the most amazing connector. She really helped me add tools to my toolbox. And she was never, you know, up on high. She was very much at my level. And, you know, the fact that she was able to work with a 16-year-old me who didn't understand what that there would be an older me, right? Like, she was just able to really partner with me. And I feel that in all the conversations that you and I've had and the work that we've done together, just in the bariatric community, you are very much the person who is on everybody's level and is meeting them where they're at, not, like you said, coming at from this place of I'm on high, here's what you need to do. It's very much like, well, tell me about you and tell me about your life and tell me about, you know, the things that you're noticing. And then it's like, you know, supporting from that level, which is very different. I think that's why so many people are scared of therapy. They think that they're going to be judged by this person, and that's not what it is at all.
And I just want to give a shout out to the licensed mental health counselors out there. I know they're doing exactly what I am walking alongside. You know, it also just had to do with like interests and philosophy and do you want to do research? Do you want to do testing? And I didn't. And so that was the degree that I, you know, went after. And I'm just thankful that we all have the opportunity to help people because it's needed.
Right? Oh my God. Well, you know, and it's so frustrating as a bariatric patient. You know, I had a wonderful surgeon. My surgical team was great. You know, all of that was wonderful, but they give you a binder and it says, eat this at week one, week two, week three, week four, and then week five, welcome to Whole Foods. Good luck. And you're like, oh my God. And at first, sure, I need to know exactly what to eat. But very quickly after surgery and you start to recover, you realize, oh my God, I don't know how to live as a thin person. I'm struggling with my relationship with food. And I feel like I've lost my identity. And like all of a sudden, all of these things come up and it has nothing to do with how many calories you're consuming a day.
Right. Nothing. So you didn't get a binder on your head work stuff?
I did not. No, I didn't even get recommendations for head work skills. I didn't even get anything that said that the mental side of thing, the mindset was going to be the most important, the largest, and the most difficult part of my journey.
Right. And that is what's brought me here today to expand my message, because I feel that is, as I mentioned earlier, it's the missing piece to the bariatric treatment plan. Mm-hmm. And I think the program that I worked with here in Grand Rapids did an excellent job. We had four behaviorists on staff. Mm-hmm. But I still can say, like, there's something wrong that I've been in the bariatric community for almost 20 years, mm-hmm. and it's still the missing piece. Like, mm-hmm. that's not okay. Because as mm-hmm. you said, April, it's 90%, right? Like my clients tell me over and over again, they're like, 90% of it's up here. Mm-hmm. Well, then we need to be giving binders. We need to be teaching on the headwork skills, because how do you know if you don't know?
Yeah, no, you don't know. And I think that's why so many people regain their weight. That's why you have such high percentage of unsuccessful people after surgery. You know, you have gone through something major. Like we were talking about earlier before we started recording, it's like, You go through surgery because you want different results. You truly are ready to do the work to make things different. But when you get to life after surgery, sure, they've told you how to eat differently, but eating is such a small part of what it takes to actually become a different person, to make the different choices, to live a life that was different, that is different after surgery. They don't give you that, which is why you do what you do. It's what we do at East to West. It's why we're seeing kind of like this blooming bouquet of resources in the community, because, you know, we have people now that have the capacity or the desire or the drive, or they've realized this and they're like, oh, this really needs to change, because this is just not acceptable anymore. This is just not good, right? We've reached a breaking point. The dam has been breached, and now we know that this support needs to exist. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for your time and expertise today as we dive into this very important mindset topic of really reframing food. It's what we've been focusing on this month at East to West. And I know personally, maybe a week, maybe not even a week, maybe 3 days after surgery, I realized, holy shit, food is a huge part of my life. And now that has been taken away. And I was very angry. I was very upset. I was very depressed. I was just not in a good space. So that's kind of the first question. The first thing that I want to talk to you about today is, why is food so triggering to people? Why is it such a hard thing to give up?
Right. Because you've had a relationship with it for many, many years. So April, how old were you when you had surgery?
I was 38.
Okay, so for 38 years, 38 mm-hmm. years. I mean, that's longer than your relationship with your husband, right?
Yes, much longer.
longer. So for 38 years, you and food had a relationship. Mm-hmm. You had a physical relationship, but what I'm here to talk about today is you had a strong emotional and psychological relationship. And it changed immediately after your surgeon did your surgery. And it makes me sad that no one told you before surgery. You're probably going to freak out a little bit. You're probably going to be angry. You're probably going to grieve, because then maybe you would have known to expect it. Because, well, let me put it this way. You're like, why is food such an issue? Why is this hard to reframe? You know, what I've learned, and I'll be honest, like I learn the most from the patients and clients I serve, right? Like, mm-hmm. yes, I have the degree, and yes, I have expertise in behavior change, but it's been the almost 20 years of stories of people who have allowed me into their life. And what I've learned, like, let's be honest, this is what I love about East to West, is you just put it out there, is that bariatric surgery patients have an unhealthy relationship with food. There yeah. is a stronger psychological component. And what I know as a therapist is basic therapy 101 is we do not take away somebody's unhealthy coping skill. First of all, they don't even know it's unhealthy yet, right? So
thank you. Yes, you don't even know that you're in the most horrible relationship in your life until that has been severed.
Okay. And so you don't even know it's unhealthy. And so therapy 101 is okay. So then you take time in your sessions to point out, like, how is this working for you? Do you think that this is the best way to cope? I'm kind of noticing some codependency with food. You know, there's a real art to that. And mm-hmm. then once your client knows, like, yeah, this probably isn't the best way, you take a ton of time to help them say, well, what else could you try different? And you do some yeah. education and you baby step it. That is therapy 101. Guess what? When you're a surgeon, cut your stomach, your coping skill was severed.
Yes.
Immediately. It was yes. gone. There was no baby steps. There was no recognizing things.
No.
And all of a sudden now you are forced to first one see that you had an unhealthy relationship with food. Because when I do the pre-surgery assessments, people are like, oh no, I just eat when I'm hungry. I'm not an emotional eater. Mm-hmm. And they really probably believe that mm-hmm. until after the emotional relationship's taken away.
Bingo. You don't know what you don't know until you don't have it anymore. And then all of a sudden, right? Because not only is it taken away, but it's taken away in a very traumatic way. And not to say that it's bad or good, but you have literally allowed somebody to go into your vessel and permanently remove or change your original construction to be something different. That is trauma on a level that you don't know until you've woken up and your brain is starting to process this. And like your soul is starting to process this. Mm-hmm. I had the luxury of seeing Wendy, my therapist before surgery. And she did, I knew that this was coming. So I was even more prepared for this than most people. And when it happened, when I arrived at this understanding, I was not prepared for it because it was just so, it was much more deeper. It went to a level that I didn't even recognize was there before. And before surgery, when Wendy told me, like, I need you to like really connect with your stomach. I need you to talk to your stomach. I was like, you are crazy, lady. Like, I don't even know, like, am I in the right place? Like, you are talking woo to me right now. Now I totally understand what she was talking about because I had done something to myself that I needed to rectify. And it was traumatic. It was major surgery. I got put under, I got something taken out. I mean, that's huge. That's trauma. And if you don't recognize that, if you don't acknowledge it, it's going to be more bad things coming your way. I mean,
well, I think there's this expectation that I should be super happy. I finally had my dream. I worked so hard to get bariatric surgery.
Yes.
And I'm getting healthier and I'm losing weight. And that is mm-hmm. all true. But right next to it is, you will grieve your relationship with food. And how do I hold the two together?
That was how Wendy, and I absolutely love you and Wendy, I think are very much kindred spirits in a lot of ways, because you just kind of cut through the fluff in the nicest possible way. Right. But I was telling Wendy, like, I don't understand why I'm so sad and I'm so mad and I'm just so angry. And she's like, it's because you had a deeper relationship with food. And I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. She's like, well, tell me, what did it feel like when you broke up with this boyfriend or that boyfriend, or when that relationship ended? How did it feel? And I was just like, because you're just so mad that they've hit the nail on the head. But it takes that comparison to something that you've already been through in life to go, are these similar? Because they seem similar. And then you're like, oh my God, okay.
Yeah, because they are similar, because I'm sure food was meeting a lot of psychological needs that you weren't even aware of, right? Yeah. Even maybe more so than a past boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yes, right? Yeah. I tell people that my relationship with food was the longest and most abusive relationship I have ever been in my life. And I allowed myself to be in that abusive relationship because I was getting something out of it. It might not have been healthy, or sometimes it was healthy. It kept me alive. It helped me like overcome these very difficult moments in life. It was the steadfast thing that was always there for me when I felt that I was either really in danger or not really in danger, but my brain perceived it. I really had to get to a place where I had to acknowledge and thank my brain for doing what it was hardwired to do, which is keep me alive. Even though that mechanism was actually killing me also at the same time, it did what it did in the moment with the tools that I had at the time. So I have to be thankful for my brain doing exactly what it was designed to do. But now I have to be thankful for the skills and the people in my life that are helping me reframe my brain, rewire my brain to do the things that will not only sustain me, but keep me alive and add years to my life, not take it away. And that's a hard place to get to.
Absolutely. And it's why we're here talking about reframing food, because you knew what that freak out moment was like, if you will, and you had a therapist to walk you alongside. There's a lot of your listeners and people watching today who don't have that. And so I know you and I were talking a little bit about, what do we have to reframe? What role does food play in our life, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to kind of go through, and if I miss any from the last time we talked, but
yep. I'm looking up. So at the virtual bariatric meetup, you led our community through this activity, and you gave us a list of these 12 things that says food is, and you asked us to kind of like give ourselves a point for every time that we identified that we were using food as that way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So first of all, you know, what role does food play in your life? And this is what I've learned from my patient stories through the years. Food is my friend. Right? Mm-hmm. Food is comfort. Mm-hmm. Food is where I celebrate. It's how I know how to be happy and keep that good feeling going. Mm-hmm. Food is always there for me.
Yep. Yeah. Food is a boredom buster. Food is a place that I can rebel. Food accepts me for the way that I am. Food never talks back, or it helps me avoid conflict. Food is a stress reliever. Food is a reward. Food is something I can control or feel in control with. Food is self-care.
Yeah.
When you went through that list, so when that list popped up on the screen eventually, you asked people to give it a quick glance and then rate yourself. Give yourself a point for everyone that you align to. And I've got my notes right here from the meetup. And I said, okay, well, initially I'm an 8. I can do 8 of those things. But then when you started walking us through this list and said, well, this is what, you know, food as celebration looks like, or this is what food as a boredom buster looks like, I was like, oh shit, I am a 12. I didn't realize that.
And I think the two on there that I would love to just expand on a little bit more, that people are like, oh, I didn't know that was me, is the one where I said food is an area I rebel. And yeah, are we ready? Breath, okay.
Oh, I am not ready, but I am.
A truth bomb. Okay. So again, I've learned the most from the patients that have allowed me into their stories. And what I've learned over the 2 decades is our bariatric surgery community, they are people pleasers. They have a bent towards being everything to everyone. I want to be a peacemaker. Don't rock the boat. if they're asked, you know, where do you want to go out to dinner? The answer is, well, where do you want to go? Right. And so they want to make everyone happy, be everything to everyone. I also, what I've learned from my patients is there is a strong theme of perfectionism, right? And I have to do it perfectly. And it's this all or nothing thinking.
Yes.
Okay? Yep. Which is unrealistic.
So
back to food being area to rebel. When you are trying to do everything perfectly and be everything to everyone, none of us can keep that up. And you are going to need one area to let yourself go. And what I've learned from my patients, an area they let themselves go is food. Because do you think they're going to pick an area that affects somebody else? Nope.
Nope. Or an area that is so public that would prove that I'm not perfect? Nope.
Nope. And so it's like, I'm just so sick of being perfect. I had to have one area where I let myself go, where I rebel, and that's with food. And that makes me, you know, that makes me sad, because why are we rebelling in an area that hurts us? But we need to understand, that's back to, we need to reframe it. And you know, I heard this question over and over again, and I think the rebelling thing kind of answered it. Patients would say to me, why am I so driven in, you know, in other areas of my life, and I'm so accomplished in my career and in my family and in my community, why can't I get this weight thing down? And I think that's complex. I mean, that could be a whole nother podcast. Obesity is a disease. It's a chronic disease. There's many aspects to it. But I think one of it is, I would say to them, well, because you're so driven and because you have unrealistic expectations of perfectionism in these other roles, you can't keep that up. And so you're rebelling in the area that's sabotaging your success with weight loss.
Yes. That is 1,000% true for me. And I know that it is 1,000% true for so many people in this community. And I've had this conversation with many people, as just recently with Stephanie, One Hungry Mother, very successful woman. And we both were like, why can I not get this one area of my life figured out? And it simply is because of that. We are so driven to be perfect in everything, yet especially me, I break, and it's like, okay, I just can't in one thing. And what's the one thing that I can't? Okay, that, because everything else is so important to me. Everything else needs to be so perfect. Everything else needs to be exactly as I know it can be, because I can do it, because that is my talent. That is where I excel, and I can't sacrifice any of that. So what's the one thing that I can? It's food. It's food.
But you've reframed that, April, right?
So I have. I am working on that. I am working on that because, a big part of my recovery has been, I don't need to be perfect in everything. I don't need to be a perfectionist. I don't need to please everybody, because that was what was actually kind of killing me in the long run. And that people don't care that I'm not perfect, right? People are not expecting me to be perfect. That was an expectation I was putting on myself. And absolutely. Yeah.
And people actually prefer you showing the real April. Right?
They do. As we all do. We all are looking for, we're looking for authenticity, not because we think that they should be, but because that's how we connect with people. That's how we actually get to this place of contentment and happiness, is by acknowledging I'm not perfect, and that's okay, nor should I be, because that puts myself in that growth mindset. I can be better. I can do better. There's always something to learn. There's always areas to improve upon. And it's not saying that that's now like only what I'm focusing on. It's just saying, oh my gosh, I can find this place of contentment. I can find this place of things are really good. And if things are here forever, I'm going to be happy. But by acknowledging that there's more out there, it just means that there's always things that I can look to. There's always areas in life that I can grow in, because that growth might lead to a little bit more happiness, a little bit more contentment, right? It might actually get me closer to my goals. That's perfect. Yes. That's a great place to live.
Yes. And I believe when we start reframing our relationship with food, we do get happier. We do get healthier. It's hard to let it go, right?
Yes.
It served us well. I would say even it protected you. It was a protector. Yeah. For many, many years, but it's time to say, I can say goodbye to that. And mm-hmm. I don't want food to be the way I celebrate. I don't want food to be an area I rebel. I don't want food to be how I relax. Like, there has to be healthier ways out there. And there are.
Yes, there are. My Mary's, the most pivotal line that Mary ever said to me that my first therapist said is, I was describing something and it was like, oh God, I just, you know, this isn't, you know, without saying it, I was saying like, this isn't working. And her response to me was like, was basically that, like, well, how's that working out for you? Well, clearly it's not working. Right. And then she was like, so then stop doing that. And you're like, what the hell? Like, I can't. Why can you not stop doing that? And it's because you're so afraid of what lies on the other side. You're so afraid of happiness or contentment or success, or you're just afraid that if I change this one thing, then everything's going to fall apart. And it's just not, it's not rational.
You may know it was, you know, it's unhealthy for you, but it's comfortable. Yeah. It was 38 yes. years of comfort.
Yeah.
That's why you're not changing, right? Like,
yes.
I'm going to see. So I am getting filmed. I'm wondering if I can do this for your listeners. I think I can. So I always, when I'm working with my clients, it's a little object lesson. So I just want you to fold your hands out in front of you, like thumb over thumb. Okay. Got it?
Yep.
Yep. We can do this. If you're listening, you're just kind of folding your hands. So for me, so listeners, I have my right thumb over my left thumb. That's how I'm clasped. I want you to do it the other way. Okay. So try to put your other thumb. Okay. April, how does it feel?
Really awkward.
Okay. I want you to keep it there for a minute. It's really awkward, uncomfortable. Listeners, you're probably feeling the same. Those watching, you're like, okay, I can do it, but it's certainly not comfortable. Now go back. Go back to what's comfortable.
Yeah.
This is your relationship with food for 38 years, April, right? This is what you know. And those of you who are listening today, put your age in.
Oh my God.
Okay. Now go back. Now go to the uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Here's your new relationship that happened with food right out of the operating room. We don't know it that well. It's brand new.
No.
It feels awkward. Mm-hmm. Guess where we're going to go when stress rears its ugly head?
Right? Without even thinking about it. And really, it was kind of funny when you first asked me to do that. I was like, oh nope. I wanted to go back in that other way.
Right? Right? And it's so, here's the hope though. So because I've been doing this with my clients for almost 20 years, guess what? Both feel comfortable to me, but it takes time. It takes time. We often, so when your therapist asks you, like, yeah, it's not working for me, but why am I staying there? Sometimes it's just because it's what we know and it's comfortable. And it's like that old comfortable shoe. And it's hard to give up because this one, I can do it. It's kind of new, but it feels awkward. I don't know. And then we go back. So
that is insane. But you know what is, you know, what's hopeful about this? I know that it sounds so basic, but I can clasp my hands both ways.
See, look at,
like, it doesn't, I mean, sure, this feels a little bit odd, but if I'm conscious about clasping my hands in this new way, and I keep my brain focused on that, pretty soon this is going to feel just like this. And it's not going to, it doesn't matter necessarily how I do it. It's the fact that I can do it both ways.
Okay. So listen to what you just said. I heard words, when I am conscious.
Yeah. And
focused.
Yeah. This takes a little bit more effort, right? I really have to
more effort.
Yeah.
But I still can do it. And so in light of our topic today, reframing food, if we're conscious of it and we focus and we accept it is going to take a little more effort, we can do it.
We can do it. Absolutely. And this discomfort that I'm feeling, this anxiety, isn't necessarily bad. It's what's telling me that I'm doing something differently, which is the whole point, the whole reason that I did surgery, is because I wanted to do life differently. I wanted to do food differently.
Yes.
So this discomfort is not bad. This discomfort is my signal that change is happening, that things are being Definitely. Done differently, which is why I signed up for this. Hey guys, it's April. If you've been following us for a while, you know that my favorite hot beverage is Retreat Drinks Hot Cacao. I love it because it's made with four simple organic ingredients: cacao, coconut cream, maple, and Himalayan salt. That's it. It is decadent and creamy and just hits the spot when I need something sweet. And the best part about it, it's not going to break my macro bank. If you want to give it a try, visit their website, retreatdrinks.com, and use the code EASTTOWEST to get 20% off your first order. Oh my God, Laura, you're a genius.
Thank you.
What a simple and physical thing to come back to. Now you have to know this. Every single time in life that I clasp my hands, I'm going to go, oh, Laura would like me to think about shifting that. I mean, that's such what a touchstone.
You get this as an educator. We learn in different ways. And sometimes just having these little object lessons. And one of the most beautiful stories is exactly what you said, is I had a patient come back to me and she was facing like another surgery that was really hard for her and had some fears. And she said, Laura, the whole time I was on the gurney and I was getting rolled back, I was just doing this. I was doing this the whole time. And I'm like, yes, that is so good, right? That's so good.
Oh my God. This is why we have these conversations. Yeah, this is why.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So once we have kind of identified what our current relationship with food is, and as I've said, we've gone through this list. I went from an 8 to a 12, right, which means I have a strong psychological relationship with food. Mm-hmm. Okay. How do I shift it? So I've acknowledged that, okay, I have this, and right, I acknowledge that it needs to change.
Right.
How do I do that?
Okay, so a couple things. One is first the acknowledgement, right? So I always say like three ways. So the first is, okay, I have an emotional relationship with food. I will let you know, not just bariatric surgery patients have emotional relationships with food, okay? Mm-hmm. I think we all have an emotional relationship with food. Not all of us have the disease of obesity. So no shame, no blame in that you have an emotional relationship with food. It may be a little bit stronger, right? It may be a little bit more intense. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, I acknowledge this. Like, it's just something that I have to deal with. It's not me, as something's wrong with me, but the acknowledgement is powerful. Mm-hmm. The second thing is allow yourself to grieve it, right? Allow yourself to look at your relationship with food as a loss. And you will go through all of the grief and loss emotions. So they used to be called stages. We know in the therapy world now they're more waves because they're not clear cut. And I might come back in a different podcast and talk about this, but you will be in denial. You will be angry. You will bargain. You will get sad. And then you'll get towards acceptance. And you will feel all of this with food, because think of other breakups you went through in your life. Mm-hmm. You grieved. You're breaking up with food and you're going to grieve. And so allow yourself grace and space to do that. And then finally, before we really jump into like, okay, what's an action step I can take today? Can you just celebrate that you're here? Like, celebrate that you're listening to this podcast. Celebrate and acknowledge that you're checking it out on a YouTube channel, because what that shows you right now is you are reframing food. Mm-hmm. You are here and you're ready to learn and you're saying, hey, I'm all in. I want to do it a different way. And I don't know why I didn't hear about this in my surgeon's office, but man, Laura, you're really speaking to me. And if I don't get this headwork stuff done, I'm not going to have success. And so I want you to give yourself credit and celebrate the win that you are here and you're doing something about it. So I think that's the first three things you have to do.
Perfect. Love it. So once we have acknowledged this, once we have celebrated the fact that we are getting curious about this, that we know that things need to shift, what are those action steps that we can take to begin to reframe food?
Right. So I think it's absolutely going back to that list, and I don't know if we can make the list available maybe in the show notes,
what yes,
food play in our life, but you don't even need my list, right? I got those answers from listening to your stories, listening to the bariatric patient story.
So
take some time to write down, what role is food in my life? Is it an area I rebel? Is it an area that I celebrate? Is it an area that I relax? Is it an area? One is companionship. Like, I've been hearing a lot about that. Like, food is my companion, because I've been really lonely during the pandemic, and it becomes like someone to join me in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And back to that perfectionism bent, you're going to want to do all of them all at once. Okay, I listened to that Laura Grable lady and April was on, and I'm going to go and I'm going to hit all of them and I'm going to change all of them. Okay, I'm ready right now, right now, right now. Mm-hmm. And I will say to you, how has that worked for you before?
It has not.
It hasn't. So we're about, this community is about having you have success and feel empowered. So here's your action step. Pick one, okay? And so if you are someone who uses food to relax mm-hmm. at the end of the day, like you're go, 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 you're do, do, do. And you're like, oh, I got that treat, right? And the relaxer is probably something with sugar, fat, and salt in it. I can guarantee mm-hmm. it's not broccoli, okay, right? Can we just be honest?
We can be truthful about that. You are correct.
So it's like, that's going to be my time. My bowl of ice cream is waiting for me. I'm just going to sit on my couch, put my feet up and enjoy my food. And I'm going to unwind and relax with my ice cream, or I'm going to unwind and relax with my salty snack. Mm-hmm. The first thing I want to say to all of you today is your desire to unwind and relax is an incredibly healthy need. We need to unwind. We need to decompress. We need to relax. That is very, very healthy. It became unhealthy when you met it with food. And what I want to say to you today is your relaxation needs are worth so much more than a McDonald's French fry. Your relaxation needs are worth so much more than a bowl of ice cream. I want you to relax in ways that work and don't bring the whole like mindset in of being mad at yourself, because now you're not relaxed anymore.
No. And I want to relax in a way that sustains my life and that adds years or moments to my life. I don't want to relax in a way that takes it away from me. And I've been relaxing in a way that took life away from me for too long. So I need to do it different.
What are your non-food ways to relax, April?
So at the VBM, the one that I picked was a boredom buster. So if I'm bored or if I'm feeling stressed, I will turn to food. And I wrote, I need to walk or I need to move. That is going to be a way for me to relax. I'm going to call or I'm going to text a friend. I am going to actually write a handwritten note to a friend. That's something that is very relaxing for me. Or meditation is something that I enjoy doing, but I have a very difficult time finding the time to do it. If I meditated when I would have been eating, I will find the time. So those are kind of my four things. And I wrote them on a note here, and I'm actually going to turn them into a graphic, maybe something a little bit more prettier. And I'm actually going to attach it to my fridge. So that when I go there and I want to eat because I'm bored, I'm going to see this list first. And I might not do something on my list every single time, but I will do it more often than not. And I think soon it will become, right, kind of that exercise. Instead of going to the food, I am going to go for a walk. I'm going to move. I'm going to call, text. I'm going to do one of those things instead of eating.
Okay, so there's so much there. Like, you did it awesome. So, okay, you picked I'm going to work on boredom. So what are some non-food ways I can meet boredom, right? Mm-hmm. If someone's going to pick the relaxing, what are some non-food ways I relax? And it's going to be different for all of us, right? So maybe you relax with music. Maybe you relax with taking a walk. Maybe you relax with, I think your dog that just, jumped up behind you. When I spend time with my dog, it's very relaxing. You have to figure out what works for you, and mm-hmm. you more than anybody. What mm-hmm. I really love is that you created a menu, because here's the thing. Our emotional eating urges are strong. They mm-hmm. are strong. And so I'm Michigan, right? So I'm a Great Lakes girl. So I'm surrounded by the Great Lakes, and I live very close to Lake Michigan. And I always describe emotional eating urges as like a storm on Lake Michigan, okay? And it's like these waves, and they're just going and going, and you can't figure out, what am I feeling? Am I hungry? Am I bored? Am I stressed? Do I need to relax? Mm-hmm. You just don't know Mm-mm. what's going on. Mm-mm. And if all of a sudden you have to think like, oh my gosh, I listened to that Laura lady. Like, what did she say? Yeah. It's not gonna come to you.
No.
April, I love that you have your menu ready and ready to go, because how I teach that to my patients is, if you wait to have your non-food ways or try to think of them in the middle of the storm, it's mm-hmm. like trying to learn to swim when you're drowning.
Yes. and you will not do it. You will drown and you will go back to what is easiest.
Right. So that action step is, I want you to just pick one this week. Are you going to work on, okay, food is a boredom buster, so I'm going to find new, what can I do when I'm bored? Or food is how I celebrate, so I have to figure out a different way, how I, you know, how can I feel happiness? What's another healthy way to keep that good feeling going?
Yeah.
And work on that and then give yourself credit. And then what I love about the East to West community is you can share your ideas with each other. Like, by you just putting that out there, you got some accountability now.
Yes.
Right? Not only did you encourage someone else, but now they might be asking you like, hey, April, how's that going? And that's back to why you exist, because we need each other.
Yes. Yes. And what I've found as an educator is that if I tell kids there's only one way to do this, most of them are not going to do it because that one way doesn't fit for them. So for me, if I make a list like this and there's only one thing on here, if I'm in that storm and I go to my list and the only thing on here says walk and it's raining outside, I'm not going to walk. I'm just going to go eat, right? It's that all or nothing mentality where there's only one thing on my list. And if I don't feel like doing this one thing, then I'm not doing it. All or nothing. So I have to present myself with multiple options so that in the storm, in the moment, I can look at that list and I go, okay, it's raining outside, or I do not feel like walking, but I do feel like calling a friend. So I'm going to do that instead. If I have multiple things to pick from, I'm not going to be able to go to that all or nothing, because I can say, well, clearly I have multiple options here. So I need to pick from the one that works best for me in this moment.
Yeah. Right?
Like, I've been in enough storms. I've been on enough boats in the sea to say, you need different tools for what's coming at you. If I'm fighting the tide, I need more engines. If I've got if something is in my way, I need to be able to steer around it. I have to use different tools to get out of the situation. And the situation is going to be changing every single day. So I need to have an arsenal of things that I can go to adequately face what's coming at me. And it's going to be different every day. And it's important to know that you're going to need different things on different days. The issue is still the same. I'm still going to be fighting food and boredom, but how I fight it, the tool that I'm going to use, can and should be different every time I approach
it. Right. And I think, first of all, what I want your listeners and viewers to hear today is, first, give yourself credit for naming that you have an emotional and psychological relationship with food. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it goes back to, how do you know what you didn't know? And you didn't know. So again, what I've learned from my patient stories is them saying to me, man, I didn't know how emotional it was until after the surgery. And that's normal. And you may need to just take some time to figure out, well, what am I? What feelings am I eating for? Is it loneliness? Has food become my companion? Is it happiness? Because what I've learned, again, because I learned the most from the people I work with, is sometimes I would jump to the tools a little bit too fast, right? I'd say, well, make that menu, April. But they're like, I don't even know how to name my feelings yet. I don't know what to do with them if I don't know how to name them. And so sometimes we just have to back up and say, okay, I have an emotional relationship with food. Okay, how do I reframe it? What is it really about? And so start developing a feeling vocabulary, or you know, what role this would play. And then, okay, how can I honor that in a healthy way?
Hey guys, it's April. I just want to give a shout out to our very first podcast sponsor, Gather Juice Company. They're located in my backyard. That's right, Grit City, Tacoma, Washington. And their juices, shots, cleanses, and toasts have really made a difference in my bariatric recovery. If you live locally, swing by their 6th Avenue location and pick up something that you will enjoy yourself. And if you don't live locally, send them a quick direct message and just let them know you appreciate their sponsorship of East to West. You've got this, and we've got you. Those are three very powerful steps that help you set that are just helping you set up what you're going to do. Because you are so right. I think so often we skip the part of really identifying and putting words to feelings, and we go straight to the tools. But if we're using a hammer to do something that a hammer isn't built for, we're never going to use it properly.
Right.
Right? We have to understand, why am I using it, and what is the proper tool for this? So I'm really thankful that you are, that you're making it well known that, no, you really do have to start with, what is my current relationship with food, right? How am I using food in a way that is not sustaining me? What is that doing for me? Why am I doing that? Okay, great. Step one. Now that I've acknowledged it, how do I shift? How do I reframe? How do I do that? And you gave us a really great tool for that, which is just coming up with things that you can do in lieu of eating when you are using it for those ways.
And start with one. Like, don't try
start to with one.
Happiness, stress, yes. Control all in the same week, because then you're going to become overwhelmed. What are you going to go back to? Oh, food will take care of that.
Yep. This is too hard. This is all or nothing. Yeah, no, that is not the case. That is not what we want to do.
Right.
So how do we do this long? Like, how do we do this, you know, long-term? How do we sustain this change over time? Because we know that this is going to get real difficult and we're going to want to go back to our old ways. So what are some things that we can do to really make this stick long-term?
I think the first is accepting that you're going to have to work at it the rest of your life. And I don't say that in a way to be like, you know, the Debbie Downer here, but I wish we could treat our psychological relationship with food like we treat strep throat with a 10-day course of antibiotics. It doesn't work that way. and so if you're finding yourself 1 year out, 2 year out, 3 years out, and still struggling, know that, yeah, the struggle is going to still be there. It won't always be as hard, but you never arrive, right? Because we're not perfect. So I think that's the first thing, like, how do I sustain it, is realizing, okay, I'm going to be working on reframing food the rest of my life. And that's okay. Because like you said, we can always grow. We can always learn. I think the second thing, how do you sustain reframing food? Surround yourself with people who get it. And that's where I think East to West weight loss surgery comes in. You do not have to do this alone. And I know that my patients learn the most, not from me, but from the people sitting right next to them, mm-hmm. in a Zoom group, someone they're mm-hmm. chatting with over social media. There's nothing like having people in your journey that can say, I understand how you feel. And mm-hmm. so reach out to them, let them know, hey, I'm struggling. What are you doing? What do you do when you're lonely? Like, I'm kind of doing this. Do you do that? Like, dare to just reach out and be vulnerable to your community. Right? So surround yourself with a community.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I really credit my success to the bariatric community and kind of to East to West, because if I wasn't doing this, I wouldn't be having these conversations with you. We wouldn't be sharing these conversations, and my recovery would slip to the back of my mind, because that is normal. But the fact that I'm always engaged in this community, even on the days when I don't want to be engaged with this community, I see something that's related to my bariatric recovery, and that moves it back to the front of my mind. And while that feels exhausting, Wendy helped me realize that no matter what path I had taken, I was going to be thinking about food. I was going to be doing this work no matter what, because if I hadn't had surgery, I would still be thinking about food. I would still be doing this work. It would just be doing the work in a way that was getting me to an early grave. So no matter what path I chose, I was still going to be doing this. It's just that now I'm working for a different goal. It's the same work. You're going to be doing the work no matter what. Would you rather have that work be life sustaining or be life taking? You get to choose. You choose the work.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you brought up your work with Wendy, because I would highly recommend jump into therapy, right? So you said, mm-hmm. how do I make this sustainable? You know, there's a reason we had this, you had an unhealthy relationship with food for 38 mm-hmm. years. And sometimes mm-hmm. you're so in it, you can't see it. Remember in the beginning, I talked about a therapist helping clear the clutter.
Yeah.
Go to an expert. Like, I believe in what I do, right? So I have a therapist. I think every therapist should be in therapy. Because when I go to therapy, it's an incredible way to self-care, right? I don't have to be therapist. I don't have to be mom. I don't have to be, you know.
You get to be you.
I just get to be me.
Yeah.
And that is a place where you can start investing in to talk with a professional about, I had some unhealthy coping skills. And you might say like, oh, but they don't specialize in bariatrics. I would have to say just general therapists know how to help you develop healthier coping skills. General therapists know how to help you exit codependency. There's a big word, but you have had a codependent relationship with food that you need to break free from.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then, as you said, April, always keep learning, listen, you know, listening to the guests, people like Jana, people like, you know, the sleep dietitians, you know, people like me. Like, you need to have experts, if you will, speaking into you, and take the pieces that mean something for your journey. And yes, exactly what you said, you got to keep your head in the game, even when you don't feel like it. I'll be honest. I mean, there's some, yeah, I have some patients I've walked with for nearly 20 years. They've heard all the Laura-isms, if you will. But you know what they do? They're like, oh, like, you've, like, I've heard you say that for over 10 yes. years, but today it hit me differently.
Yes.
And that's how it works, right?
Yeah.
But you mm-hmm. have to keep your head in the game, because obesity is a chronic disease
yeah.
with no cure. You all pick the best tool out there to treat your disease of obesity, mm-hmm. but it's not a cure. And keeping your head in the game is treating chronic obesity. And if you stop keeping your head in the game, if you stop working on your nutrition, if you stop going to support group, if you stop weighing in, if you stop doing the head work, you're removing your treatment. And what happens when you remove treatment from a chronic disease?
Yeah, it comes back.
Your symptoms flare, and it yeah. comes back in our population with regain.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So which is why
we're working at it.
Yes. Which is, we talk to so many people in the community who say like, oh, I'm 7 or 10 years post-op and I've regained my weight. But you know, when you dive into the conversation with them, it's because they have removed themselves from the community. They mm-hmm. they've let it slide to the back, and they just have not put the work in every day, right? They've shifted where they're working. Instead of working on their new self, they're working on they're back to working in their old self, in their old life. Yeah. And right, it's just, it was very disheartening. It was very hard for me to hear from Wendy that I would be doing this work for the rest of my life. That was a real blow, because I was very upset. I thought surgery would be it. I had the surgery and everything will be fine.
The antibiotic and strep throat.
Right. Right. Exactly. And when Wendy let me know, that's not actually the case. I was very mad and I was very upset. But as she helped me recognize, as I've already said, I'm going to be doing the work no matter what. So where do I want to work? Do I want to work in my old life? Do I want to work in my new life? And it is a choice that I have to make every single day. I have to choose my new life. I don't choose it every day. I'm going to be honest and I'm going to be transparent. There are some days where all I can do is my old self. And that's okay. Space and grace, right? Some days that's needed, right? And that's okay. Right. But the key to this, yes, right? But the key to that is that I'm choosing my old self less than I choose my new self. That's the key. I don't need to win every day. I need to win a majority, right? Like, people aren't elected on 100% of the vote. They're elected on a majority. That is how I get there.
And let me tie that into our grief and loss with reframing food. When we first have a breakup or we first lose a loved one to death, the waves are like this. They are yeah. so acute, right? You're like going mm-hmm. out of anger, bargaining, sadness, denial, like it's all there and it's wavy, wavy, wavy. And how do you know that you've made progress through your grief and loss waves is you have more days in acceptance. And then there might be an anniversary or you hear a song and like, oop, it peaks mm-hmm. again and you have some waves, but they're not as tumultuous. And then you have longer days in acceptance. And so that's the hope I want to give you about reframing food. In the beginning, it feels really tumultuous and wavy and like all over the place. As you just heard from April's story, it doesn't always stay that way. And you have more healthy relationship with food days than you do unhealthy. And that's another thing. The day you have the unhealthy day and you want to beat yourself up, can I encourage you to remind yourself, hey, if I take a snapshot over the last 30 days, there were way more days that I had a healthy relationship with food than not. And that is progress.
Absolute progress. My favorite quote, one of my favorite quotes of all time, and it's actually hanging above my stove, is a Louisa May Alcott quote. And it says, I'm not afraid of storms. I'm learning how to sail my ship.
Ooh, I love
right?
that.
And it's so powerful to me because just like you, right, we're water people. We love watching the water. It's not stormy every day. It's stormy some of the days. That's normal. That's natural. That's to be expected. But if we learn how to sail our ship, we will survive any storm that comes our way. And that's what this is about. It's learning how to sail our ship with the right tools.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay, Laura. So to wrap up our conversation, I would love for you, are there any resources that you can recommend to our listeners and our watchers that will help them navigate these storms, that will give them the tools that they need to reframe food?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I want to recommend two books, not by me, but by authors I have great respect for. The first one is Dr. Susan Albers, and she has written a lot of books, but the one that I think really fit for our talk today is 50 Ways to Soothe Yourself Without Food by Dr. Susan Albers. And then actually she's done a follow-up called 50 More Ways to Soothe Yourself Without Food. So I hate to break it to you, everyone, there's at least 100 ways to soothe without food, okay? We can't say they don't exist because this incredible author has written two books on it. It's been very helpful. I've read the book, I use it in therapy when I'm working with people in therapy. The other one I want to recommend is Dr. Judith Beck. She's like the guru in cognitive behavioral therapy. And her daughter became a therapist as well, have written a book called The Diet Trap Solution. And I'm not a big fan of the word diet, but I think she had a marketer, right? And diet sells. But what I love is what's inside the book, and it's working on changing your thoughts about food, right? Like cognitive behavioral therapy has been used forever to help people get healthier. This book helps you work on the thinking part of food. And then I would love to be invited in your story. I'm loving getting to know all of you in your community. And I have a couple of resources to help you out. One is I'm doing a free masterclass next month, and this is hot off the presses. So I again have been listening to people I work with, and guess what? People are struggling coming out of COVID. The average person has gained about 2 pounds a month. 61% of Americans have gained new weight or regained lost weight, and this includes our bariatric surgery population. And so I'm doing a free masterclass, which I'd love to invite all of you to, called COVID Comeback, Why We Gained and 3 Small Habits to Lose It. So again, you'll leave with those action steps. Come to my website, lauragrabo.com, and you'll see the registration there. I also know that April's going to put the registration link in the show notes. And then also, if you're checking out my website, you'll also see that I've developed a whole online course called Foundations and Headwork for Healthy Weight Loss, because the headwork needs to get out there. I want all of you in the bariatric surgery community to have success. And I know some basic foundational headwork skills can do that for you. So I invite you to journey with me in that online course. And then just come follow me on social. Like, I want to welcome East to West to my social media community. You can find me on Facebook, Laura Grabo, Headwork for Healthy Weight Loss. Instagram, just at Laura Grabo, LMSW. Would love to journey with you.
Your social media feed is so uplifting and so helpful, because really what you post are things that are usable in the moment, right? So if you're looking for something in that moment, there's a safe landing place on Instagram to go for that headwork. And your website is beautiful. I'm so excited for your masterclass. I will be there at 7 a.m. Pacific time. And for those of you who know me well, I never get up that early on days that I am not working, but this is why I will get up early, so I can be present at this masterclass, because I already know how amazing it's going to be just on the conversations that we've had in the past and the conversation that we've had today. You are a master at delivering information in bite-sized chunks that are applicable instantaneously for those in our community. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
I know. It's these conversations, every single time we wrap up a conversation, a podcast, a VBM, I just leave so inspired, and I leave with the things that I need to live this new life, right? I mean, it's hard doing this work. It's hard being a patient, and then, you know, it's hard producing the content. It's heavy. It's a lot of work. But then we get to the moment, and we move through the moment, and it's worth every second of work, every second of work. So we so thank you, and we appreciate your time, your expertise. You are volunteering your time to spread this information, and we just cannot thank you enough for that. It's amazing.
It's an honor to be invited into your stories. So thank you.
If you do not follow Laura yet, please do so. Head to Instagram and just search LORAGRABOW. That is her handle on Instagram. It is her website. It's where you can find all of the good stuff. For those of you listening and watching, we thank you so very much for your time, for your energy, for being a part of our community. We do this to help ourselves and to help others, because we all want us to find our best lives before and after bariatric surgery. If you enjoy this type of support, consider becoming a patron of East to West. For $5 a month, you're literally helping us keep the lights on. You're helping us pay for Zoom and Canva and our website and all of the platforms that we use to produce this material. And as a thank you, we give our patrons early access to podcast episodes. Sometimes we have behind the scenes, you know, bonus content. We have weekly AMAs, and we have monthly AMAs. You get invitations to special events. So if supporting us in that way is something that you would like to do, we encourage you to consider becoming a patron of East to West. So just head to our Patreon page. It's www.patreon.com/East2West. And you can learn all about that information there. And if you have a topic or something that you would like us to explore, please direct message us or send us an email. We are here to support this community with humor, humility, and honesty. And we get these great ideas from you. So let us know. And Laura, hopefully we can invite you back in the future. I was taking copious notes as we were going. I think there's like 8 million podcast episodes that we could do with you. So hopefully we will see you again very soon.
Yes, yes, yes. I will definitely come back. You just invite me and we'll make it happen.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, if Jason was here, he would do the outro, and he's not, so I will do it. Please know, in all things bariatric, you've got this and we've got you. We'll see you soon. Bye, Laura. Thank you.
Yeah, take care.